Hey, I'm Savannah Welch, and you are watching The Whole Podcast.
Welcome to The Whole. I am Rob Sprantz.
I'm Lori Levine.
And we are joined by Savannah Welch. Savannah is currently, I'll talk about the cool gig, playing Barbara Gordon, Commissioner Barbara Gordon in Titans. Welcome, Savannah. I'm so glad you could join us.
Thanks so much. Yeah, thank you for having me.
So, you know, in watching this show, like Titans is a very cool, you know, the comic books, all of these different comic book shows and stories are now starting to interweave and intertwine, and they're expanding the universe constantly. For you to get a role like this, of all the roles, it's very cool to wind up in Gotham, which is just seems like a terrible place to live. But to wind up with that is fantastic. How did you wind up getting that?
Yeah, you know, I auditioned for the role. This was January of 2020, so just before the pandemic here in the States. And I auditioned for the role, and I got a call back. And then didn't hear anything after that, and just kind of figured it was another gig that I didn't book. You know, just kind of guessed that ship had sailed. And then in August, I heard my agent heard from Titans Production that they wanted to bring me back in for the role, and I guess that they had just been shut down for the pandemic is why, you know, it was sort of halted there in January.
So why not torture everybody who auditioned is waiting to find out? And from what I had heard, you mentioned that when you went to audition, you didn't even know what you were auditioning for. Like, they kept it so quiet that they kind of slipped a curveball at you.
Yeah. You know, that happens on occasion where, you know, they say this is a TV series, and this is a series regular role, and we can't tell you what it's for. And they'll give you fake sides for it. And so, yeah, I think that first audition, the scene was the role of an attorney who was in a wheelchair.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you think back on that now, and I don't know if you still have the sample they gave you, did they write something that seemed like it was in that vein, or did they just kind of pull something that was just an attorney just to kind of see how you read and how you were?
Yeah, it was a bit in that vein. It was definitely a woman in a position of power, and she's, you know, very intelligent and, you know, definitely a boss, you know, like I said, in a position of power. The scene was with another female and maybe an associate or something. And so I do remember that the scene was, you know, she's definitely tough, but also she does have sort of a soft spot for other women who are up and coming in that same industry.
So it's relatively safe. So when do you find, out what it is at the same time you get it? Or is it even more torture where you find out what it is and still don't know if you have it at that point?
Yeah, I think that when I was called back after that first audition, I was told what it was for at that time. Yeah.
And then you want it so much more, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, you've been in other things. You were in Boyhood, and you were in Six for the for the History Channel, and you know, it's not like this is your first role, but this is a big one. Like, to get, this is a major role for
to be Batgirl.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, when I do remember when I auditioned for the Tree of Life, Terrence Malick film, I auditioned for 6 months without knowing what it was for.
Wow.
So, you know, it's always different, you know, but I do remember after that first, after the callback and I was told what it was, you know, I definitely invested in that and watched the first two seasons and really became a fan of the show.
Yeah, very cool. So, you know, you said you watched the first two seasons, but this is something that I can imagine when you're taking a role like this, because, you know, in doing some more research just on you, the second you're announced, this comic book world, they go crazy over every little detail and they know every little nuance. Did you like, you know, is that a little intimidating that you have to go back and do a little more lore? I mean, thankfully I was thinking if it was me, okay, at least it's Batman. Like everybody knows Batman, like at least it's Gotham, you know, but did you have to go back and did you get into some of that back lore of it beforehand?
I did, you know, in some ways I was very intentional about what I looked at and what I didn't and what I read and what I didn't. And, you know, I didn't want to be too overly influenced by, you know, other representations of the character, but I wanted to honor the aspects of this character and the storyline that were going to be a part of the show. And so there were a lot of conversations with the writers and the directors about, you know, who is this and what is the story that we're following, so that I could just develop, you know, this character and who she is and what her background is and sort of, you know, bring more life to her from a more kind of grounded perspective, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I don't want to give any spoilers away, but, you know, at the same time, you know, she's a badass. You know, she doesn't take she doesn't let anybody walk over her, and that includes Bruce Wayne. You know, she's not the character's not afraid to stand up to pretty much anyone. And I do hold out hope that we're going to see a kick of the last too. I have a feeling that might be coming. I won't, you know, I didn't get to that point yet, but I'm hoping for it. I am. Do you notice like the fans starting to pour in after, like, did it happen after the first episode aired? Did it happen when you were announced? Like when did that start happening? Because I know they're coming, because those comic book fans are diehard.
Yeah. Both, you know, after the announcement, it was, that was quite a thrill, you know, just seeing the way that the fans responded, you know, the fans of the show, fans of the DC universe. And, that was amazing. It was just, there are so many people who are, very passionate and very invested. And, and then, you know, seeing the positive response from the first three episodes after those first three were dropped, you know, it was mostly a pretty overwhelmingly positive response, it seemed like, at least from what I saw. And that was such a relief. You know, I had,
sure,
I really didn't know, you know, I didn't know if people would say, you know, this is totally not the Barbara Gordon that I envisioned, or, you know, this is all wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, we did our homework. We did our best to bring Barbara Gordon in all her glory, you know? So, you know, it's been really cool. It's like, this fan base is, it's unlike anything I've experienced before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, but it's well-deserved too, because you're excellent in the show. You really are. And it's the character works on so many levels, you know, as it is. And I also, you know, couldn't help but notice you get to play alongside some great actors and some, you know, you want to talk about rabid fans. I was a huge fan of Game of Thrones. Yeah. So, you know, you're working with Ian Glenn, who was Jorah on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Did you watch that show beforehand? I mean,
no. you know, and it's, you know, it was, I maybe should have. It sounds like I should have. Everybody really loved that show. I'm not much of a TV watcher, or I wasn't before, I should say. You know, I have a 9-year-old son, and we don't do a whole lot of screen time in our house, or we you know, try to limit it quite a bit. And I'm, you know, I'm a mama, so I just, you know, it was not something that I was doing much before being on Titans. I just, you know, I was kind of usually the only one in the conversation that hadn't seen whatever series. but it was really fun to get to work with Ian, and that was one of my favorite days on set with him. He's just such a pro and such a sweetheart. He's fun to work with, you know, in the scenes. He's really generous and it was fun. He's a guitar player and so is Brenton. So, and so am I. So that day it was great. We had a couple of guitars offset. And so kind of between setups, we got to pass the guitar around and song swap a little bit. And
that's great. Yeah. And, you know, let's talk about that. I have guitars in the back here too. So, you know, on the music side, I definitely, you have a band, called the Trishes, which, you have, I think is an EP out, is an album called High, Wide, and Handsome, which kind of is me on a weekend. but you know, it's kind of cool to see that you were. I'm curious as if you were in more on the musician track. Would you prefer to do that? The acting, like which one came first? When
you're also a songwriter, I think, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have done those things also. I've dabbled in a few different things. You know, I always have like, what's it called? Imposter syndrome a bit, you know, talking about this stuff. Cause but, I can say I'm a songwriter. I think I wrote 3 songs total last year. You know?
That counts as a songwriter. That's the
thing. You started recently and I'll probably finish them in about 10 years, but, I guess I grew up in a musical family. My dad is a songwriter and a musician. His name's Kevin Welch, and we grew up in Nashville. My older brother is also a songwriter and a musician, Dustin Welch, and they both make records and they play and you know tour those records pre-pandemic, and so that was kind of the world that I grew up in, was just getting to really just be submerged in that world, in that industry, and songwriters and staff songwriters and studio musicians and people who are on the road all the time. And that was kind of the family business in some ways. And I think, you know, not that I intentionally needed to rebel or you know, do something different, but I always had an interest in music, and that was just kind of always a through line and something that we always all talked about was songs and songwriting. And I loved to play the guitar. Mostly did that when nobody was home. and I started getting interested in film and film production and screenwriting and acting and sort of went in that direction. And I moved to Austin, when I was 18, and I, you know, there's so much live music here too. So I never strayed far from music. But I really kind of felt like I had to choose one or the other for a little while and was pursuing acting. And, I'd say kind of around my mid 20s, I just realized like, I don't have to choose one.
Right.
And I, you know, it was sort of an accident that I ended up in the Trishes, or that the Trishes, the band was formed at all. It wasn't intentional.
Even the name was not really intentional, but
yeah. Yeah. It was, we got together, for a tribute concert, a living tribute concert for my dad. Mm. There were several artists that were all performing his songs. And so myself and 3 other girls got together and performed a couple of songs at that tribute, and got a really, you know, positive response, and had some show offers sent our way. And I think initially we sort of resisted it, and you know, said thanks and no thanks. Like none of us feel like being in a chick band, and I was like, I don't even perform live. And I'd written songs, you know, with some friends and boyfriends and my brother, and. But as far as performing live, you know, I had been the backup singer in my brother's band for a little while, and that was kind of the extent of what I felt like riding off. And a couple of the other girls had just released solo records, and so we resisted it, and then we decided eventually, like, okay, we'll do this as like a sort of fun side project, and then it took off.
Yeah, like it's just, it, and even the name, the Trishas, like you just, it's named after Trisha Yearwood, right?
Yeah, one of the songs that we were performing at that tribute is a song that my dad wrote that was recorded by mm-hmm. Trisha Yearwood.
Yeah, and that's how it came about. So, you know, and the album is great. Like, it's not, it sounds like you were coerced into making a record, but it's a good record. It's not like, you know, you just did a demo at home. Like, it's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, and I totally like get what you mean about having to choose one or the other. Like, I go through phases. Like, I'll dive into this show and that'll be all I do. And then all of a sudden I'll dive into music for a while and I won't want to, you know, do one while I'm doing the other. And it's just, I mean, there's only so much time to go around, especially, you know, if you have children in your case, you know, that's yeah. only so much time to go around. But I did know she also played the mandolin.
A little bit, yes. A little bit.
So I'm so curious, like, how different is that? If you play guitar, like, can you pick up a mandolin and is it pretty similar or is it just way different?
If you play the mandolin properly,
I wouldn't.
I again, imposter syndrome here. I could never really claim to be like a mandolin player because I never felt like I dedicated myself to like any mando technique, mm-hmm. which there is mandolin technique. And but in the Trishas, there were some of the songs in our set, and we just didn't need three guitars on stage, and we needed a mandolin. And I kind of volunteered to learn those songs on mandolin and learn the chords and could play, you know, rhythmically. And it's fun, you know, it's a totally different sound. And I have been playing on this octave mandolin that belonged to my dad that I kind of borrowed long-term. And it's been fun. I started a song on the octave mandolin, and I feel like it, you know, different, and you can write on different instruments, and it sort of inspires,
sure,
you know, different style writing. So,
yeah, when you say, it's funny you said imposter syndrome. That's one thing when you see someone playing the mandolin, you go, oh, that's a musician. She just picked up the mandolin. She knows the way around. But you're very good at guitar, and you have a beautiful voice. So I know you like to pretend that you have imposter syndrome. But come on, that's a really good record. So you should be proud of that.
Thank you so much. I am proud of that of that record and the time that we spent on the road. My son was born while I was in that band, and he was on the road with us off and on for the first 3 years of his life. And so it's a special time for us.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that can't be easy going on tour and then, you know.
Having a baby.
Having a baby. Like, not that you did it on stage, but still, like, it's not a.
Sometimes on stage. But yeah.
How far into your pregnancy were you still playing shows?
8 months.
Wow, yeah. So that's right to the end.
Yeah, our last show was our last show on the road was in Asheville, North Carolina. And I remember we drove through the night after the gig back to Nashville, where we were staying that night, probably at my mom's or something. And she lives there still. And we're driving through the Smoky Mountains at night. And I remember feeling like I started having contractions and was messaging with my midwife. And she's like, just get your ass home.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And that was just before Christmas. And I think our last show at home was like a Christmas show. And then he was born at the end of January.
So you were able to finish the tour at least.
That's, yeah.
You know, and so, you know, while we're on the topic of music too, I know you've been planning, working on a podcast called Enough About Music, where you want to interview people, just musicians, but not talk about music at all, which I think
this is such a great idea.
Thank you.
Yeah, it really is. So, are you getting ready to start doing some of those? Have you done any yet?
We are just getting home from being in Toronto for the better part of the last year, where Titans was being shot. And, so we're like, I'm getting there. I'm warming up to that right now. We're in what we're calling the like domesticating stage where we're planting plants and getting my son set up, you know, in school programs. And, you know, we just, it's like, we got to dust off the home here and figure out what our rhythm is. And, but that is something that I love to do, and I'm looking forward to getting back to it. It was really fun. We had just started. So we had about 8 episodes in post-production when the pandemic started. And I just kind of parked it for a moment. I was like, I don't know how to do these over Zoom yet. I'm just going to wait.
Yeah.
And then I got cast in Titans, and I was in.
Yeah, you could wait on the podcast a little bit. If I got cast in a show, Lori, I'm sorry, you're going to have to find something to do for me.
Oh, and vice versa.
Right, exactly. Lori would leave me high and dry.
I wouldn't even say bye.
Who would be some of your dream guests to have from the music world that you would
love? Oh, good question.
Well, you'd have your dad.
I would. Yeah, I'd talk to him about that. Mm. Which would be so fun. You know, he's my dad, and a lot of times what we like to connect about is music. So it'd be really fun to say, we're not allowed to talk about music in this whole conversation.
Right.
Gosh, I don't know. There, you know, I would love to talk to people from genres that are outside sort of my wheelhouse, I guess. That's something that comes to mind. You know, I love the community of musicians and got, you know, so many near and dear friends in sort of our community here in Austin and Nashville. And I also think that it would be really interesting to I think I would probably learn a lot if I was able to branch out into some genres that I'm not as familiar with.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges will be, especially if you talk to people that, you know, you're fans of, like, how are you a fan of someone for so long and then you can't ask them about their music? It's such a cool premise. Like, it's just like, I don't know if I could do that.
Well, there are several artists that I got to interview that I've been, I am huge fans of them.
Ah, that's great.
And, you know, yeah, it was really fun. And it was kind of an experiment at first. I didn't really know if people would want to do an interview like that. But I remember, you know, being in the Trishas or being, you know, in the Welch family and being interviewed about our music. A lot of times you're asked kind of the same stock 10 questions over and over. And
yeah,
I love the opportunity to just kind of say, what do you want to talk about? Anything else? And it was really cool, you know, just to see what people came back with. And it was always really unexpected and cool and interesting. And those conversations were just very much conversation. You know, it wasn't an interview. It was organic. So
then let me enough about music you then. So what's on your mind these days that you passionate about that you like to talk about?
Okay, let me think about that.
I just stole your podcast premise. I'll only do it this time with you on, I promise.
Just turn the tables on me. Let me think about that. I went through training when my son Charlie was 2 to become a trained birth doula. So that's a passion of mine that I don't really get to talk about very often, but it's one of my favorite things to do.
Which I was so interested in. Are your services just open to anyone, or do you do this for friends and family?
So I guess I would be open to anyone. You know, for the most part, it's a word of mouth thing. You know, I was never kind of affiliated with a birth group because I was on the road and I was a mother of a small child. So a lot of that was close friends. My very first doula client was one of the other Trishas. And I got to be my sister's doula, and I got to be another mama musician in Austin, her doula for her first child. And so, yeah, initially it was just kind of, it was word of mouth, and it was so that I could provide that service and that support to kind of my sisterhood in my community, you know. And then I've had some other referrals and have gotten to attend births with other people that I didn't know personally. And they're great too. So, about it, I guess.
Yeah, that's great. So for those who are watching right now or listening right now, what is the difference if you use a doula? Obviously, a lot of people don't want to go to a hospital and get painkiller drugs and have a child. So what do you bring as that experience? Like what are the differences?
Sure. Well, a doula provides emotional and physical support for the laboring mama and her partner or the other people in the room. Sometimes there are other sisters and there are other, you know, people, family coming in and out. So the emotional and physical support essentially to help everyone else facilitate a safe and supportive environment for the mom in labor. Mm-hmm. And so that might look like helping the partner know different comfort measures for different stages of labor, and being a presence that's there consistently from the beginning to the end, or as long as they want you to be. Mm-hmm. So, and that is even for moms who do want pain medication or do elect to have an epidural. Really, it's to be emotional and physical support, no matter what their choices are.
So yeah. Someone could call you and say, "My body is doing this," you know, and you could like walk them off the ledge if they're frightened.
Depending on what they say, I would probably say, "Great, call your doctor."
Midwife. Calling me. I support you, but call your doctor.
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, some people don't know if they should call their doctor, or they hesitate, or I don't know if this is a big deal or not, or I don't want to bother them, or if it's in the middle of the night, or, you know, and so oftentimes, you know, we do get those first calls. And I think part of the job as a doula is to know when it's important to refer them back to their care provider. We don't provide any sort of medical support. At least we're not supposed to.
Now, did you have a doula for your child?
I did. Yeah.
You did. Okay. So you were you already doing it at the time?
No.
Oh, you weren't. So that kind of you then realized what a benefit it is and wanted to do it. That's really cool.
Yeah, I had a very positive experience when I had Charlie, and my birth doula was one of my closest friends and still is to this day. And she was a huge asset. I mean, it would have been a really different experience had she not been there. So that was inspiring. But also my mom in the 80s, she had all three of us kids at home. She had home birth with all three of us, which was pretty uncommon at that time. Mm-hmm. And she had other women around her and friends of hers. They just didn't call themselves doulas, really.
Back then, yeah, I guess it's true. You always have someone that you can reach out to. It just kind of makes it a little more official.
Yeah.
I guess. It's very cool. Yeah, that, you know, that's, there are so many different things about you that, you know, I wouldn't have expected. And that was definitely one of them. And, you know, we're almost short on time, but because it is so uplifting, I do want to at least address your disability and the accident that happened. And because I think what you've become, what you were able to accomplish because of it, I didn't want it to be the focus of this conversation because you're so talented with or without. But the fact that, you had an accident where you lost a leg, and you've turned that into such a positive and such an inspirational story for everyone that we should at least address that.
Thank you. You know, it's definitely one of those things that, and I think this is a really pretty relatable, experience in life, is that there are so often things that you think, well, that'll never happen to me, or like, you know, those kinds of things happen to other people. And not that I ever even considered the idea of that I would maybe lose my leg or lose a limb, you know. And in fact, I probably took them for granted. You know, we all do. You know, it's easy. It's
sure.
You know, no fault to anybody that you might take aspects of your life for granted until you don't have them, until there's, you know, some sort of loss of health or mm-hmm. or whatever it is. And so, you know, it was a very freak accident. And you know, my leg was severed, so it wasn't even like something that I lived with and had to make a choice about. It was, you know, I came out of surgery and it was gone.
Yeah, and it was sudden. It's not like some people would get sick and there's a possibility, and it's just one day you wake up and the next day you don't.
Yeah, and it might have been more challenging. It might have been harder to live with that possibility for a while and you know, have the space to ruminate about it or fear that. But I was in some ways sort of saved from having to think about it and fear and go into fear about it and make that decision. It was not my decision to make. And so I think in some ways that allowed me to acclimate and to adjust and just accept it much quicker.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that must be like, just waking up and hearing that. But you know, from other conversations that I've seen you've had, you know, the fact that you had a child, like that was your focus even when you woke up. You know, is he okay? Like, yeah, whatever. Is he? And you know, in a weird way, that probably helped you a lot.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think anyone, I'd say any parent, but anyone who has a loved one, which is everyone, you know, my dad was also there with us that day and he had just been standing right next to me also. And I was really aware of the fact that most likely Charlie would not have survived that. I don't know that my dad would have. And so, you know, it was just such a close call and they were fine. Mm-hmm. And I was fine, really, you know. And so that's why, you know, I kind of started saying, and it became sort of a motto. I just said, leg schmeg, you know. Fine. We're good. Everybody's okay. And it's like, it's a leg. That's all.
Yep. And it doesn't change your talent or ability in any way, shape, or form. And it's just, it's very uplifting. And a lot of people who are going through the same struggles can look to you as an example, without a doubt.
Sure. And I read a great interview that you did years ago where you were saying how you do yoga and just regular yoga, and you'll do standing tree, you know, and everyone's falling over and can't keep their balance and you're there. Like, it's just such a great, positive, funny story.
Yeah. I was actually in a yoga class with one of the other Trishas, and we were in tree pose and people are kind of like losing their balance, you know, as they do, and catching themselves. And I didn't mean to, but I actually yawned.
And you're reading a book.
Yeah, and she looked over at me. I can't remember what she said, but I think it was something. She was like, "Oh, shut up." Or like, you know. I was like, and I laughed because I realized I was standing there and like yawned. But yoga definitely was really helpful for me in just strength building and balance and when I was recovering. And, you know, I'm careful with some of the ways that I talk about this, because I in no way ever want to minimize my struggle or somebody else's struggle. You know, I don't want people to hear my story and go, "Oh, that's so inspirational." And then in some ways that would feel, they would turn that into shame about the way that they are responding to a situation, because every situation is so different for everyone, depending on what the circumstances are, depending on what their history is and their past experiences, you know? So, you know, I'm always careful, because pain is pain, and there's no right way to, well, I guess the right way, in my opinion, would be just to honor what's true for you, even if it is, I'm really struggling right now. And I, you know, I definitely had times when I thought, I don't know what my life's going to look like anymore. Right? Yeah. Can I still do these things? Can I do any of these things? And thinking that I had completely missed my opportunity to learn how to, you know, whatever, XYZ, you know, surfing was one of them. And my family, we were just in Hawaii and I signed up my son for a surfing lesson and the instructor saw me and saw an opportunity, said, do you want to try it? And I was like, sure. And, you know, I got to try it. And so anyway, that's just an example of, you know, there are always, it's always a process. And the last thing that I would want anyone to do is to just bypass, you know, whatever it is that's true for them in their recovery, because they think, well, you know, who am I? This girl is dealing with this, and you know, I shouldn't be feeling so down, you know, about my situation.
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, you have no one that's going to whisper in your ear when it happens. Don't worry, you're going to get a major role on a major show, a superhero. No. Like that doesn't come. So you almost, you know, you gain that strength by going through that process and going through all of it that comes with it. And, you know, I'm just so happy that the success that you have is just so well earned. And it was just so great to talk to you. And I want to make sure that all of our listeners and all of our viewers follow. She's got a great social media too, by the way. Follow Savannah on Twitter. She's Van Rose Welch, and on Instagram she's Savannah Welch. You get a lot of backstage, behind the scenes photos of her. And you just wrapped season 3 is completely done now, right?
Yep, that I am aware of. Yeah, I just did my last ADR session yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And, I can't even ask what's to come because I don't want to give any spoilers because I don't know, nor will you give them. So let's just say I hope there's more of you to come one way or another. I'm sure there will be somewhere, but let's hope it's in Titans too. I can't ask that question. So, but again, you can also just go to SavannahWelch.com and everything is there. Her story, her links, everything from the Trishas to the doula information. It's all right there as well. So go check it all out. Savannah, thank you so very much for joining us. It was an honor to talk to you, and I wish you nothing but the best. And hang on one second. I'm just going to wrap it up, and I'll be right back. All right. Thank you for listening to The Whole. I am Rob Sprantz.
I'm Lori Levine.
Bye for now.